Jesus Christ. And if you're not, then this morning he would like to make you free. Our theme for this year is that is a game changer, and Jesus Christ is the game changer, and he wants to make you into a game changer. And this week we start a great study. I don't know if you've ever done a study through the apostles before, but they were some interesting guys. And this morning we're starting with Andrew. And if you don't know about Andrew, then when you leave today, I hope that you have a closeness and affinity with who Andrew is, what he was like, and that you might learn something that you say, you know what, I would like to have some of that in my life as well. Well, let's take our bulletins. We have a lot of announcements to go through. And right along with our theme for this next 11 weeks, the apostles, it'll actually be a few weeks. We're going to take a break for Easter, and then we'll get back to it after Easter. But small groups start up tonight, and I would like to encourage you to be part of a small group. It takes what we learn here, and it takes it to just different thoughts, different things to think about, and you get to know some other people in the church, and that's a wonderful thing, to have some great fellowship. So, we have all sorts of small groups that are meeting. We have one that meets right after church here at the church. We have one that meets tonight here at the church. We have one that meets on Thursday night in Plainwell. We have one that meets at my house at 2 p.m. today. And one that meets at 5 o'clock at Karen Joyce's house. And so a lot of different opportunities for you to be part of a small group. Make sure you go to the Welcome Center and figure out which one would be best for you and sign up and go for that.
Are the books there?
The books are out at the Welcome Center. They're in a plastic holder, and even if you're not going to be part in a small group, pick up one of those books and go through it with your spouse, with your family. It'll be good for you to just get to know who the Bible is talking about a little bit deeper. We have a lost but found basket, all right? It might be lost to you. We found it. We'd like to get it back to you. So that's at the in between the secretary's office and my office. There's a table there. Make sure that you check out those items. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 3rd, at 11:45, meet here at the church and bring some chili with you. And we're going to the park in Kalamazoo, right across the street from, it's not Bronson Park, I don't even know the name of the park. It's right across the street from the Gospel Mission. And we are handing out chili. And so if you would like to come and be part of that, bring some chili, meet here at the church at 11:45, leave it at noon, and I'm going to meet you downtown, and we're just going to hand out chili until the chili is gone. And there's a lot of homeless people down there. There's a lot of people that are looking for food. And so it's a great opportunity for us just to provide that, but also to share the gospel with them. And we have some tracts that we'll be handing out with the chili. And so one of the easiest ways to minister to someone is to hand them a bowl of chili that they already want, right? So you don't have to sell anything. All you have to do is give away. So I'd like to encourage you to be part of that this coming Saturday. If the church is providing, all you do is you bring your chili in a crock pot or in a roaster and have it already warm and ready to go, and the church is providing the containers to scoop the chili into. And we're not going to scoop it until we get there because we don't want to have to carry 200 individually packaged chilies. We're just going to scoop it when we get there into the bowls, and we'll hand it out then. We're also handing out water as well. All right. Financial Peace Class, it starts April 8th at 9 a.m. There's still room to sign up, and so if you haven't, we'd like to encourage you to do so. Next Sunday will be a pizza with the pastor. If you're new to 12th Street, you've been here 6 months or less, and you'd like to have some pizza with myself and my family, make sure that you sign up so that we have enough pizza. And then mark your calendars, because on March 31st at 4 p.m., we have our annual Easter egg hunt. Every year, Chad Kilburn stuffs 10,000 eggs, okay? And, yeah, he deserves two hands for that one. Now, Chad would like some help. So, if you could help stuff some eggs, that'd be wonderful. We need candy to be given, donated, so that we have the candy to do that. So, if you would like to participate in that. Also, that day of the event, we need people to help set up, tear down, and just... we always have a lot of people come out for it. A few hundred people have come out every year for that. So it's a really fun time.
Chad said no chocolate.
Okay, no chocolate, because if it's warm, it melts. All right, so no chocolate, so make sure that the candy is Jolly Ranchers, Laffy Taffys. All right. Guess who's coming to dinner? Next Sunday is the last Sunday to sign up for that. If you want to host, then sign up to be a host. Tell us how many people you can have. And then if you'd like to go as a guest, it's a lot of fun. Hosts, you have no idea who's coming over. Guests, you just know that you're going to this house. We give you the address. We tell you what the main dish will be so that you bring something to go with it. And then you go, and it's just a great time of fellowship. And so if you haven't signed up for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, I want to encourage you to be part of that. There's a lot of other events coming up. Read your bulletin, because they're in there. We also have coming up very soon our upward closing program in 3 weeks. And we need people to usher from our church, just to greet people as they come in. We're expecting around 650 people to be here that night. And so if you could come and just wear your Game Changer shirt. And if you don't have one, we have some out at the table. If we need to order some more sizes for you, we'd be willing to do that. But it's a great night for us to be able to bring a final thought to Upward, and we share the gospel that night. And every year, we've seen, last year we had 32 people that marked that they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ through the Upward program. And so it'll be a great night. So if you could help out, we could use your help for that. You can contact the office, and Cheryl will help you know what you can do for that night. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you do. This week, you have provided for each and every one of us. This week, you've provided health and sustenance and shelter. Lord, for those who have been displaced because of flooding, we do pray for them. We ask that you would... use this circumstance, as difficult as it is, to help them to see you, see your provision, see your goodness, and even through difficulty, experience God walking with man, helping them out. And Lord, we do pray for those in our congregation who are ill. We pray for their speedy recovery. For those, Lord, who have received difficult news, we pray that you would just give them the strength to handle the treatments that they're undergoing. And Lord, this morning as we meet together, I thank you that we can be free in the name of Jesus Christ, that there is no power in heaven or earth, in the sea or under the earth, that could ever keep us from the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that kind of love. And Lord, as we spend this time here together, I pray that our hearts would be full, that our fellowship would be sweet, and that our praises to you would be glorifying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Holy is the Lord.
Stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He, and together we sing. Trust the sweetest frame, Savior's love through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's.
Sing with me, how great.
sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
You may be seated. When the ushers come forward, please.
Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful that you are great and how you provide for us and you meet our needs. And Father, we just ask that this morning that you'll be with us as we take up this offering, that you'll be with each gift and each giver, Lord, that the money that's brought in will be able to use to further your kingdom. Father, we just ask that you'll just be with Pastor this morning as he brings forth the message. May we take and learn from it and use it and share it with others around us. And we pray this now in your Son's precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Two announcements that I forgot. First of all, I'm forgetting them again. Men that did act like men, we talked about reading. A lot of you said it'd be easier to do the Proverbs starting with the first day of the month, so start the first day of the month, all right? Some of you already read it, so now you're gonna have read the first five chapters twice. That'll be good for you. And then on May 2nd, we are starting a wonderful opportunity for couples. It's a Wednesday night. We're only gonna meet one time, and it's called 30 Days to a Greater Marriage. Okay? But it takes husband and wife. And childcare will be provided from 6:30 to 7:30. We'll be done at 7:30 on Wednesday, May 2nd. And then you have 30 days to a greater marriage. And it'll be a fantastic time, no matter if you're a newlywed or a really, really oldie wed. All right? But it'll be a fantastic 30 days. So put that on your calendars for May 2nd.
Dear Diary, 2 weeks ago, I gave my life to Christ, and last week, I got baptized. Pastor says that I'm now a member of the church family. I'm so excited. I've been reading in the Bible about how the people in the church want to be in your life and care about you. I really need someone in my life right now, and it's like they're right there in front of me. It reminds me of that rhyme that goes, "Here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up and see all the fine people."
Charles, my man. Oh, good morning, Edith. How are you today?
I'm fine. And you?
I am fine. Lillian,
hey,
how are you today?
I'm fine. Good. How are you?
Yeah. Charles, it's so good to see you in church this morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Really fine.
Are you fine? Good. How's your mom?
I'm fine, too.
Oh, I am. I didn't see you over there. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Fine.
Rebecca! You look lovely this morning. How's life treating you?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Oh, really fine. Thank you for asking.
Oh, Alyssa, I haven't seen you in ages. I heard you're having some troubles. How are you?
She's fine. She's fine.
She acts fine.
Fine, fine.
Oh, she's fine.
Isn't it a fine Sunday?
As you can see, I go to the finest church in America. Yeah, I have ever since I was saved whenever I was a teenager. Yep, everything is fine. Except it really isn't fine. When I was young, I was taught that whenever I became a part of the family of God, that if I hurt, the people around me in the church would hurt too. And that if my brothers and sisters in Christ needed something, that they would look to me for support. But it didn't take long for me to realize that that wasn't always the case.
Did you hear about Alyssa? She's had really bad problems.
Oh, bless her heart. You don't suppose we should reach out to her?
Oh, no, no, no. She would probably be, you know, want to be left alone.
You're right. And she lived a long way from the church.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. It'd be kind of inconvenient to drive out there, right, Mom?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you suppose one of us should call her? See if she's okay?
No, she'll be fine.
But I wasn't fine. You know, I made it through that time, but sadly not with any help from someone in my church. My problems seemed really insignificant compared to the ones that I knew some of the people in the church body were having, because a lot of them were really struggling with sin and could have benefited from that unconditional love that can encourage somebody back to Jesus. But they seldom found that love.
Who would ever think a sinner in our church?
What? The church is hardly a place for sinners.
No way. And I think we should leave them alone until they get their life straightened out.
What if I run into them in the supermarket? Oh, wait. What am I worried about? They're the sinner, not me.
Let's hope someone can help them. Maybe there's a good Christian book on this particular problem. Yeah. But don't you suppose we should go see them? Call them or drop them a note? Show them that unconditional love?
No. They'll be fine.
But they weren't fine. And that avoidance encouraged them right into the open arms of the world. And the world cared more about them than the church. You know, encouragement takes unconditional love, acceptance, and sometimes to be inconvenienced.
If I knew somebody that had to be encouraged, I'd be glad to do it. Otherwise, I don't want to stick my nose into somebody else's business.
I work 40 hours a week. I mean, why should I be expected to spread sunshine around the congregation? Yeah. No one ever encourages me.
Yeah, well, personally, I'd rather be left alone. And because I feel that way, I think everybody else ought to feel the same way as me.
Listen, people bring their problems on themselves. I tell you, if they didn't do the things they do, they wouldn't be in these predicaments. Great. It's their own fault.
Great. Yeah, because the church isn't a place for support.
Right.
Love, hugs, and all that mushy stuff. Yeah. We're here to learn about Jesus. But wasn't Jesus an encourager? Didn't he verbally express his feelings? Maybe that's what we need.
No, we're fine.
My church is full of hurting people. The congregation is made up of sinners, and none of them are immune to depression, emotional problems. Will we ever see that? Could we ever see that it's our responsibility? When will we ever be honest with one another? Really? How are you?
My daughter. She ran away from home.
My daddy's dying.
I just had to file bankruptcy.
Lord, my marriage is falling apart.
I have a lying problem. My mom, she's losing her job.
Really? How are you?
Fine.
The church, here's the steeple. Open it up and see all the fine people.
At this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And this morning, we're looking at a man in the Bible who did not believe everything was fine with everybody else. In fact, this morning in the Bible, the person that we're looking at, he was everything that we should learn to be from this get. And so let's take our Bibles together, and let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You don't need to plug it in. That's fine. Yeah. That's fine. John chapter 1. I read the story. Okay, this is not a joke. I don't know where It might have been Reader's Digest, but I thought it was really funny, so it's not a joke. So if those of you go, you didn't tell a joke, sorry, I didn't tell a joke. But this lady wrote this girl, she said, in my junior year of high school, this guy asked me on a date. He rented a Redbox movie and made a pizza. We were watching the movie, and the oven beeped, so the pizza was done. He looked at me dead in the eye and said, this is the worst part. I then watched this boy open the oven, pull the pizza out with his bare hands, rack and all, screaming at the top of his lungs. We never had a second date. Here in John chapter 1, we're introduced to a man named Andrew. Andrew is he was one who did not just think, hey, everybody's fine. He was one who saw need and met need. And so here we go in verse 35, John chapter 1 and verse 35. It says, again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples. And looking on Jesus as he walked, he says, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and says to them, what seek ye? What are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to be interpreted as master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? He says to them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first finds his own brother Simon and says to him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now Andrew, by trade, he was a fisherman. But he was a man who desired to know the truth. And so he found a man that was preaching the truth. He found John the Baptist. And he was a disciple of John the Baptist. And one day, while John the Baptist is preaching and doing his work, Jesus walks by. Now, John the Baptist, at this point, it says that he had two followers, okay? We know one of them was Andrew. We don't know who the other person was. But they're with John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. So Andrew leaves John the Baptist and starts following Jesus. He spends a day with Jesus. He runs to his brother, Simon Peter, and he says, hey, we have found the Messiah. And he takes his brother physically to Jesus. Then later on, Andrew goes back to work. He goes back to life. And the change that has taken place in Andrew's life is that he was a fisherman. Now, as a seeker of truth, Jesus will transform him into a fisher of men. He will be a person who brings people to the truth. And one thing that Andrew learned was that religion was empty apart from Jesus. Religion is empty apart from Jesus. There are a lot of religious people in this world, aren't there? Some of them are very dedicated to their religion. And even Andrew, as a follower of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was the one who was prophesied that would come before Jesus, John the Baptist was not the Messiah. And so his religion was empty until he found Jesus. Now here's the personality that Andrew had. Andrew was the connection specialist. He found joy in helping other people come to the truth. He got the most out of life when he was able to connect people to tasks or other people that they may have common with. The connection specialist is people-oriented. The task they are concerned with is bringing people together. And the connection specialist is a genuine encourager. As an encourager, they are good at sensing situations and making supporting judgments. They are able to read the point of view in others and make real efforts to help them. Oftentimes, they will lead people to encounter others who may have strengths or abilities to help them. The connection specialist is a joy to be around. They have eyes that see, ears that hear, and hands that help. They feel empathy towards others, and this empathy drives them to act. When others like them, they are happy. But they struggle with conflict, and they despise fractures in relationships. Here's the first thing we see about Andrew as a connection specialist. He's a seeker of the truth. In John chapter 1, in verse 40, John the Baptist proclaims the Lamb of God, and Andrew spends a day with Jesus. This is a bold thing to do. When you were a disciple of someone, you didn't want to upset your teacher, the one that you followed, because you didn't want them to say, oh, if you want to follow them, then I'm not going to have you anymore, because you don't know if the next person's going to keep you as a disciple. So what Andrew does is pretty bold when he leaves John the Baptist's side and follows Jesus. But he was a seeker of the truth. And then, secondly, he reached others with truth. In Mark chapter 1, in verses 16 through 18, it says this, that Andrew first found Peter and told him, one of the things about the connection specialist is they have to share the good that they find. They have to share that good that they found. And they pass it on to someone. So if they find a good deal, they've got to tell somebody about the good deal so someone else can go experience the good deal. Or if there's something free, they'll be on the phone to call everybody and say, hey, there's something free. You should go get it. All right? This is the connection specialist. Some of you are going, oh, I know somebody like that. Or some of you are going, oh, that's me. Okay? That's good. All right? We should know people like this. We should identify with these disciples. And this is who Andrew is. Now, the connection specialist, when they visit a dentist that is really good and really cheap, it will be the first thing they post on Facebook. And then they'll call people and say, hey, I heard that you're looking for a dentist. I found one. Or if they know of a good car mechanic, or, you know, whatever it may be, they're the person that they're always trying to connect other people to something that will help them. That's Andrew. So here's what Andrew did. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we're going to read together verses 7 through 11. In John 6, 7 through 11, here's what it says. My tablet just crashed, so you're going to have to bear with me for a second. John 6, 7 through 11, it says, Jesus, he's looking around. He's got 5,000 people that he has to feed. That's a lot of people, right? That's just the men. Then there are women and children there. So it's probably over 10,000 people there. And so Jesus looks around and he says, how are we going to feed these people? And in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him, he says to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? He said this to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. All right? 200 pennyworth is 8 months' salary. That's what he's talking about. Okay? So he says, 8 months' salary, we won't even be able to give everybody one bite of bread. That's Philip. We'll talk about Philip later. In verse 8, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. They got to eat as much as they wanted to eat. Andrew there is the connection specialist. Okay? He's not like Philip, where Philip's like, that's going to cost a lot of money. Totally different kind of character there. Andrew starts looking for somebody that can help. And he finds a little boy that has a lunch. 5 loaves. And notice he doesn't just say 2 fish. He says 2 small fish. But now he doesn't want to be criticized because the connection specialist does not like criticism. It hurts. And so he says, oh, but what are these among so many? And then Jesus takes and starts to break the bread. He starts to break the fish into pieces. And pretty soon, everybody there has eaten. And when it's all said and done, they collect 12 basketfuls of leftovers. This is pretty cool because the connection specialist, even though they didn't know that this 5 loaves and 2 fish would feed everybody, took a chance of connecting the little boy to Jesus. We also see that Philip, he's the guy we're not talking about today. Andrew, he connected the Greeks who wanted to know Jesus. There's another time in John chapter 12. And in John chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse 20. Turn there, John 12, verse 20. John 12, 20, it says this, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, you have to understand something. The disciples were all Israelites. Jesus said to the crowds, I came for the lost sheep of Israel. So when these Greeks come, the rest of the disciples are like, oh my goodness, what are they doing here? Because they're not connection specialists. But we have one. Now, we're going to see Philip again here, because Philip and Andrew seem to do a lot together. Look at verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which is of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip came and told Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So, the Greeks come to Philip. Philip, remember, he's not the guy that connects people. He's like, we can't afford that. So the Greeks come, and he's like, I don't deal with Greeks. I know a guy who does. Hey, Andrew. Andrew's like, yeah, all right, let's go meet Jesus. All right, Philip goes along with it. But Andrew's the one who says, let's do this thing. And now listen to what Jesus teaches, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there he shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a loud voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others, an angel spoke to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. From what I've been able to tell in my studies, this is the first time that Jesus, in a public setting, speaks beyond Israel in the scope of his ministry. And he says, if I die like a seed has to die, go into the ground, be planted so it can bring forth fruit, Jesus is telling them, I must die so that I can bring eternal life to all those who will believe. And then he says, if I am lifted up, he's telling them, the way that you're lifted up was on the cross. He says, if I die on the cross, I will draw all men to me. Andrew brought Greeks to him. And Jesus is saying this for their benefit. If I am crucified, all of you can come to me. Without a connection specialist, Jesus doesn't share this awesome truth that you and I hold dear to today. Because he was lifted up, we, not born Israelites, born Greeks, Gentiles, we are brought into Christ through his death. You could always count on Andrew to help. He was the expert at personal connections, and he knew how to match people. Andrew was a social butterfly. You know those people, right? And as a social butterfly, he naturally supported nurture and care in others. Andrew was a team player. I see Andrew as very understanding, having a quick wit and a knack for building other people up. The connection specialist is your general contractor in life. See, general contractors in buildings, they put together the foundation workers, the framers, the electricians, the plumbers, heating and air guys, the drywall, the floor, the painters, so that they can put together this home. The general contractor's not the one doing all that work usually. Usually they're the one organizing it. This is your connection specialist. They're finding people in life and putting them together so that we don't have what this drama talked about, where we don't have where everybody just says, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. Honestly, if the whole world is full of the Phillips, that's what everybody does. I'm fine, I'm fine. But when we have Andrews, the Andrews are the people that say, let me help you. What's really going on? So if you're one of these connection specialists, you may be easily hurt by distrust and more sensitive to criticism. You're usually not an idea person. Rather, you take action through bringing people in contact with others. You're more concerned with the day-to-day than with what may be down the road. In John chapter 6, look at this with me again. Let's look at how Jesus helped this connection specialist. And we need to learn from Jesus' example in how to help the connection specialist out. Verse 7 in John chapter 6. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for the 5,000, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says unto him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. Here's what Jesus did. He helped Andrew by not snapping back at him. He could have said, oh, Andrew, where's your faith? Right? I mean, Andrew says, here's a boy that has 5 loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Instead of Jesus looking and going, man, where's your faith? Give me that bread. No, Jesus just says, all right, everybody sit down. He immediately takes the efforts of Andrew and makes them successful. See, people who don't understand the need to connect people sometimes criticize those who make those efforts. Well, you should have known that wasn't going to work. And the person who loves to see these people connected, as soon as they receive that criticism, they kind of go into a shell. You know what Jesus? He invites Andrew to come out of his shell even more. He puts him to work. He says, make them sit down. Well, the connection specialist, woohoo, I get to do something. So they run out. All right, everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. Now we need to get into groups of 50. And I can just see Andrew enjoying having everybody sit down. All right, spread out, spread out. And then the disciples, I'm sure it was probably James or John, possibly Peter, who leads the charge of the disciples handing the food out. But I can see Andrew having everybody sit in their groups. And then they hand all the food out. They get done. They have to go collect all the leftovers. I mean, do you see how amazing what Jesus does here? What was Philip's statement? What are these among so many? Yes, probably not enough. And Jesus is like, oh my goodness, boy. Let me teach you something. I can make it more than enough. And so if you're one of these people that loves to connect others, keep at it. Don't let other people's criticism get you down. And if you're one of these people, you don't understand those who are always trying to connect everybody, encourage them. Because when you encourage them, you enable them in a good way to do more for the Lord. Jesus didn't just say, make them sit down. He gave thanks and he handed it out. Support those who make efforts. Don't criticize. I knew a lady, she was a connection specialist. Her name was Gail, okay? She worked in Awana, she worked in Junior Church, she worked in all these different ministries in church. And she was the kind of person that if she heard even like background noise, somebody said, you know, I used to teach something, she'd be on them like, you know, I was going to say like flies on dung. But she was just quick to get there. And she was so encouraging. And she always found people to put them together. And she had waiting lists of people to be involved in ministry she was involved in. And I always like, Gail, when are you going to teach? She's like, don't know. It's okay. Because what was her specialty? Putting people together with ministry. And she did such a fantastic job. I'll never forget one time we had a Chevy Blazer. And she heard that, heard the car trying to get out of the parking lot. And there was some noises. And she's like, here, she gave me a business card of her mechanic. Best mechanic you'll ever find. All right? That's just who she was. And you know what? People like that, they keep things moving. Ministry gets burdened down without people like that. I knew another guy that was like that. His name was Pat. He had been a Teamster driver all of his life. And after he retired from the Teamsters, he drove limousine. And he would take people to big events. And so he was a connection specialist. He listened very carefully to everything they would say. And by the time they got out of the limousine, he had called ahead and lined everything up for them. All right, he was really good at what he did. Well, when he trusted Christ, he was 70 when he trusted Christ, that idea, that passion was just in him to connect people. And so he started working on the bus ministry. Bus ministry, driving limousines, same thing, big vehicle, put people in it. And he had a passion of connecting those kids to things that were happening in the church. And one day, while he was trying to do this, he heard somebody complain about the behavior of the kids that the bus was bringing in. He didn't come to church that Sunday. He didn't come to the Bible study Tuesday morning. He didn't show up for bus route Wednesday night. I thought he was dead. And he said, I just don't understand. I'm like, oh, you heard someone talking. He goes, I put so much effort and energy into this. His spirit was crushed. Talked him off the ledge. He got back involved. Well, at the Bible study, two men had a disagreement. They did a business deal together, and the business deal went sour, and so they had this disagreement. Great place to do it, right? At the Bible study. And he wanted to bring people together. He couldn't stand being people torn apart. And what happened at that Bible study is half the guys sided with this guy and half the guys sided with this guy, and it became two Bible studies at the same restaurant at the same time in different locations. And it tore Pat up, and he never recovered. You know, there were some men that were part of that that knew better. They thought He doesn't need to be so sensitive. You know, anytime you say that or think that about somebody, you're wrong. Because if you have to say that, well, they shouldn't be so sensitive. No, maybe you need to be a little more sensitive. We're not all built the same. And I'm so thankful for Andrews. You know, if we don't have any Andrews, maybe there's nobody to grab a little boy that's got some food and bring him to Jesus. If we don't have any Andrews, there's no one to bring the Greeks to Jesus so that Jesus can make the statement that gives hope to all of us that if he's crucified, he will draw all people, everybody in the world to himself. And so you know what? Let's encourage the Andrews today. And if you are one, don't let the Debbie Downers get you down. And if your name's Debbie, I'm sorry. Don't let the people get you down. Because God's got plans to use you. Now let's think real quickly, just one more thought about Andrew. Who's the first person he brought to Jesus? His brother, Peter. Peter gets to be in this, what's called the inner circle. Three disciples are in this inner circle. Andrew is the very first follower of Jesus as a disciple. And he doesn't get to be in the inner circle. He's in what's called the second circle. Andrew and Philip, they seem to get along, even though they're total opposites. You have Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Judas Iscariot and Matthew. And then you get to the outside circle with Judas, his name is also Thaddeus, not Iscariot, James the Less, some of these other guys. Andrew's not in the inner circle. He's the first evangelist for Jesus personally. And it didn't bother Andrew a bit. Because his goal was not to be in charge of the disciples or even to be in the inner circle. His goal was to follow the truth and bring other people to the truth. We can all learn a lesson from Andrew. We're not all built like Andrew. We're not all going to have the same personality and same desires and same drive. But we should all admire what Andrew did and have the same kind of heart as he did. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for giving us some real life example from your disciples, because you called them and you put together such a crazy group of guys. And I thank you that the first one that you brought was one that could keep everything together. Someone who was selfless, someone who was compassionate, and someone who wanted to grow and help others grow as well. God, help us to learn from him. And help us, Lord, to learn how to minister to people who are like Andrew. I pray that our insensitivity would be a warning that we need to be more compassionate, more kind, more sensitive. And so, Lord, I just pray that this morning, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you as their Savior, they don't know what they're missing. I pray that during this closing time where we sing, you died so that all people could be brought to you. And if there's anyone here who's never trusted in you, I pray this morning that they would just have the boldness to come and to tell me that they want to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, this morning, you would love to save them. And Lord, I just pray if there's anybody here that maybe something in this message really spoke to them, I pray they'd be encouraged. And if they're challenged and there's something they need to make right, I pray that they would just make that right with you. But Lord, we thank you that in all of this, you're such a great God and you want to use every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand together as we sing this song in closing.
Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, the everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out, everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame, and the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out. My soul cries out from the inside out. Oh, my soul cries out.
You know, if you're here this morning and you feel like you're one of those people that was in the skit where everything's not fine, I encourage you, find an Andrew. Because there are a lot of Andrews here at 12th Street. Find an Andrew, because those Andrews, they want to pray with you. They want to encourage you. They want to connect you. And if you're an Andrew, look around. See who you can help. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and who you want us to be. So now unto him who is able to establish you according to his connective abilities and to his sensitive spirit, may the God of peace establish your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Serve him. Amen.